Welcome to episode 298 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to answer a listener question from John M., who said, "You said that your kids have lots of educational iPad apps. Could you tell us more about them?" Today we're going to cover a little bit about what do we use, what do we love, what do we hate, and what do we learn on the way to getting here. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is April the 23rd, 2014, middle of the week, Wednesday. Today our topic is going to be educational apps. That's right. For those of you guys who do not know, I have long since been a guy who likes to repair iPads. I've been doing it for about the last 2 years now. Man, we've actually garnished quite the collection. Even off of a single income, we've garnished quite the collection of iPads. And so every one of our kids has an iPad that they can do and will use. One of the things that we did was that since we homeschool, and more particularly since we unschool, we looked for apps that our kids love to do that would teach them mathematics and geometry and science and biology and every other thing under the sun. We're going to go a few of the most popular ones that we can have and have used up until this date. A neat little technology today we're going to get to actually incorporate thanks to the new Family Podcast Network setup. Thank you to Philip. One of our listeners, Philip, actually helped hook us up with a deal for several pieces of audio equipment that are pretty amazing. So you're actually going to get to hear some of the background sounds of us working with these apps. You guys are going to hear a little bit about them before you possibly look at purchasing them. Most of the ones that we have we're going to talk about are going to be free. There's a few that cost. The ones that do cost, I recommend. All right, before we jump into that, let's get into some quick housekeeping, guys. If you want to get notified of all the new episodes that are coming out of the Family Podcast Network, quick, simple, and easy way to do that. Jump over to the Family Podcast. Over on the right-hand side, you will see that there is a little box over there that you can enter your name and your email address. See, people love this. We have very, very, very few people that actually unsubscribe from this, and I think it's because most people love being able to stay ahead of what do we talk about today, what's going on. So consider jumping over there, joining our email list, and stay tuned for all the shows that are going to be coming out before most everybody else knows them. Guys, if you want to support the show at 30 cents per episode, that's right. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of every one of these episodes in support, understanding, appreciation of the folks that think the way that you do, ideas, knowledge, etc., consider becoming a P-Tacker. We've already got quite a cool group of men and women that have already sat down together this said, let's help support the Family Podcast Network and see us grow it to be bigger, to be more, and to go further. One of the underlining, or maybe say overarching goals of the Family Podcast Network is to move this to five times a week as a full-time job. And eventually I do want to do this completely for a living because I love it so much. And I don't think it's going to be hard at all for me to find five episodes. As long as I'm not moving and about to adopt a kid, it will not be a problem to find those shows, so consider becoming a member. Last, if you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, topics you want to talk about, please send them to me. Again, thanks to John M. today for sending this topic in for today. Shoot those over to us, Trey Gibson at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Send me that email. Let us know what you want to talk about. Feel free to send a link if you want me to go read on something. I'd love to check those kinds of things out. If you have somebody that you'd love to hear on the show, those kinds of things, we want to hear about those. Yes, to several of you guys that have sent in information about somebody being on the show, I don't just contact them and say, hey, be on the show. I kind of get to know them a little bit, and if they're interested, then I'm going to have them fill it out. Now, that's not to be a turd. It's not to be lazy either. I've just found that those people that want to come to the show and want to sign up for the Be a Guest page, they just work out better. And I promised you guys a couple of listeners that said, oh, I mean, a couple of big names that said, oh, yeah, we'll be on your show. And then they never showed up. And so, I mean, I'm sure they had stuff going on. But nonetheless, I'm not going to do that to you guys and string you guys out like that. So anyway, That's another part with that. Also, guys, you can always call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Over on the right-hand side of thefamilypodcast.com, you'll see where it says Ask Trey and Jeff a Question. That is the basically a phone call in line for your computer. If you have a microphone connected to your computer, you can call in either this show or the sister station, the Real Family Guys Podcast. Leave your question for myself over at Family Podcast or Jeff and I over at the Real Family Guys Podcast just by clicking that. You can also do it on your phone. If you click on that with your phone or your iPad, it will take you to an app. Once you get that app, you can actually leave me voicemails right over that app and not have to use your actual phone data plan as long as you're on Wi-Fi. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way today, let's talk real quick today. Educational apps that we use here at the Casa de Gibson. Now, let me real quick run you down a brief understanding here. Number one, we homeschool our children. And the most generalized, broadest topic, we homeschool our kids. Now, if you're a first-time listener to the Family Podcast Network, I do want you to know something. We do not homeschool in the traditional sense. By that, what do I mean? I mean that we do not use a curriculum. Now, for many folks, when they hear that, they gasp. Oh my God, you don't use a curriculum? How do they stay on track? How do they get any things done? How do you get those things finished? How do you get the, you know, how do you get all these things turned in? How do you, you know, keep yourself up to date with the state, etc.? Let's take that one step at a time. Number one, we have rejected at the Casa de Gibson. We have rejected. Oh, by the way, I'm going to change it from Casa de Gibson. We're going to go Homestead de Gibson from this point on. Yeah, new house is awesome. But we don't we reject basic level of modern education from its core. The idea that if you take a kid and you sit him down in a didactic or lecture-style scenario, in other words, a teacher who spends all day lecturing, talking to, etc. with kids, we reject that as being the best way for kids to learn. There's some kids that learn just fine that way. And they excel when it comes to school, and they excel when it comes to their educational pieces. And so, you know, we're very clear that that's a wonderful thing, and it works very, very well for some kids. However, we also acknowledge that there's some kids that kind of thing does not work for. And so we reject that model as being the best in that kids just – I don't think most people do well by just sitting down and memorizing information. We like to learn and grow and experience and – be a part of and do things that fascinate us and whatnot. So we rejected the original model. Outside of that, the No Child Left Behind was just that was about money. This new Common Core thing once again is about more tests and more money. That's all these things are. And we finally looked at the system. And I'm gonna offend probably some teachers out there. I want you to know this is not about you. Even though it may sound like it. But we have all these teachers that proclaim that, oh my goodness, we just love kids and we just want to do the best that we can. They get chucked into a system that is not conducive to that. And I believe they're good people. I believe there's some really good teachers that wind up leaving the educational field as cynical and angry and frustrated because you guys get hampered from doing the job that y'all wanted to go in and do. Y'all are cookie cut out of y'all's educational to do exactly what y'all are told. To administer tests, to get kids prepared for these tests, like the STAR and the TACS and the TOS and whatever it was from however far back that you can go. And it's a load of crap. And you guys are stunted in what y'all are capable of doing with kids. And as such, but the reality being is that all these teachers talk about how the system sucks and all these other things, but no teachers are doing anything about it. Not at this point. There's not enough that are angry. There's not enough that aren't, you know, needing to, they're not needing that check more than they need anything. And they're not making any changes. And so we're sitting in a system that is stewing in and of itself, and nobody's doing anything. So my wife and I looked at each other and said, you know what, let's bring them home. Let's do homeschool. I mean, we're not going to do this. We're not going to sit there and have teachers that are stressed out who can't teach their kids because the system sucks. And there's some really bad teachers that are out there as well. We're not going to send our kids to do that. We're going to figure out a way to do it ourselves. So we sat down and we bought curriculum. And we had tons of curriculums and ideas, and we went and got some suggestions. It just so happened that I heard this one podcast about a lady who unschooled her kids. Fascinated me to no end and sat down and did some research into unschool, which basically is it's the opposite of your traditional schooling model. It rejects the notion that the best way to teach a kid anything is to sit them down and to fill them full of information. What it instead postulates is that the best educational experience comes when we get our kids involved in life. So the best examples that we can give them is to plug them into the things that are real, not just, you know, tests and not just, you know, homework and et cetera. The best thing that we can do for our kids is help them find the things that they are passionate about. And then if we just let kids go, if we just let kids do their thing and back out of it and just let them be fascinated. Then they'll sit back and they'll find things to learn by themselves. Well, Trey, they need a teacher. They need someone, even if it's a parent there at homeschooling, to keep egging them on. Because if not, they'll sit down and play video games all day. Why am I laughing maniacally, you may ask? Because we've rejected that model out of experience. We've run this unschool model where we're not forcing them and curriculum and scheduling them and all that other stuff. And we've backed up. And we've allowed them to become interested in the things that they want to be interested in. And then it's not a passive role on a parent's part. Then you have to be ready and willing to provide them with every single resource available that they need. Whenever we discovered that my daughter Anna was a huge biologist, you better believe that we took out when she said, oh man, I'd love to have some books about animals. You better believe that we took our money and we went and spent money on animal books. That we got subscriptions to these things that'll just send these descriptions of animals and pictures and all the things that they do that are fascinating. And you can continually add more of those week by week by week by week by week. And we bought her those and she loved them. And you better believe that when our daughter, Cora, started expressing an interest in art, that we started getting her things that were related that allowed her to draw, that allowed her to paint, that allowed her to do those kinds of things. Whenever my other daughter started experiencing an interest to tie knots, you better believe that after talking with her and she said, man, I really wish that I could get like a bracelet-making kit, that we bought her a bracelet-making kit and let her learn. But fundamentally, we stepped back and we allowed our kids to figure out what it is that they love to do and to do it on their own. Again, it is not a passive role as parents. It is very engaged. It is very active. You have to know your kids. You have to know what they love. You have to know what they're looking for. And you have to be able and be willing to spend the money to help them get there. But with that said, that is what birthed the idea of educational apps. Now, like I said before, I refurbish broken iPads. People, you know, iPads that people are going to want anymore. They'll sell it to me for cheap. And then I'll replace the parts on it and get it back up and running. So we have an iPad for every single kid in this household. And we allow our kids to use those things. And so one of the things that birthed out of that was educational apps. Our kids have a lot of fun games on there. We do not have iPads that are solely Montessori play apps. We'll talk a little bit more about Montessori here in a minute. But we do not have apps that are solely about that. We allow them to play games. My son has a Halo Waypoint app on there that allows him to watch videos and read, you know, stuff about some of the new Halo stuff that's coming out. But we also got to looking at all the Candy Crush and all that other stuff on there, and we began to think to ourselves, we need to get something on here that's at least a little bit educational. Something that they still can enjoy, that they can still have some fun with, but it not, you know, have to be boring or ridiculous or, you know, just a classroom setting on an iPad. And so we sat down and our initial first approach was that we did a Google or we did a search in the iTunes store for Montessori apps. Now, for those of you guys that are like, well, okay, what the heck is Montessori, Trey? Montessori is probably one of the few schools that I would ever consider putting my kid in. The reason for it being they put a large amount of emphasis on things like independence, freedom, especially within like limits. So they'll often provide, like, if you want to learn about math, you can pick from like three or four different math games that they might like or enjoy playing. It has a strong emphasis on kids and treating them in a natural physical way that's very well, it's very much like we do an adult. Now, don't get me wrong. This is Montessori doesn't push that you treat kids as though they're an adult, but you treat them with that same level of respect as you would if they were that kind of thing. So some of the things we love about it is they have mixed age classrooms. So you may have kids sitting that are 2.5 years old all the way with the 6-year-olds. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing because they often, you know, get the chance to teach each other. The kids actually pick most of the activities of what they do. They get uninterrupted blocks of time to do things that they can't, I mean, that they can't be encroached on, if you will. They have kind of a model of discovery. So it's not about giving a kid the information. It's about allowing them to kind of reach conclusions on their own. So, I mean, you guys can kind of see there's a lot more to the Montessori idea. But the bottom line is we love it. Oh, another one of my favorites one is that they're free to, like, move around classrooms. So there's no, like, everybody sits down in a chair and listens to, you know, Maria Montessori, you know, lecture at them. It's very, some would call it unstructured. I call it the most structured you're ever going to find it, because you're going to find that with a little bit of guidance, kids are going to begin to organize and structure themselves, and they're going to do a better job than we ever could as teachers and educators ourselves. I'm telling you. But it's a fascinating deal. And so we started out doing that search in the App Store for Montessori, and I bet we downloaded every free Montessori app that we could find in there. Frankly, what you're going to find today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over, I think it's like the top 8 or 9 apps that my kids all consistently use, all the way from the little 2-year-old all the way up until our 7-year-old. And so what you're going to find is the majority of them are Montessori apps, and they like them. It makes mommy and daddy happy because they're the least entertainment, you know, oriented, and the most educational oriented, and the kids love them. So we're going to go over that and some of our favorites. The neater part about all this is that thanks to some new technology that the Family Podcast Network has been able to acquire over the last, 4 months total. We haven't been able to set it up because we knew the move was coming, but we've got it set up now. So we've actually got the ability to play kind of some demonstrations that you guys will actually be able to listen to in the background in regards to some of the apps that we actually like to play. And so one of the first ones that I want to start you guys out with that we love is what's called Montessori Numbers. Now, again, if you're wanting to spell that out, it's M-O-N-T-E-S-S-O-R-I, Montessori Numbers. And we're particularly fond of it because when you launch it, it gives you several different options to practice numbers from 1 to 20. You can do quantity. You can do numerals. You can do numerals from quantity. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and feed this in real quick. Okay, when you launch the app, you get this little guy here that'll start up. So you can pick, I'm going to pick the 1 to 20. And it gives you the opportunity to pick like a difficulty. You can do 1 to 5, 1 to 10, or 11 to 20. So I'm just going to pick the 1 to 5 here.
1.
So what it gives me is it gives me these different numbers.
3.
And she's going to count these out.
4.
And for each one of these, it gives like a representative amount of like little flowers here.
Your turn.
So now what it wants me to do is it wants me to take these flowers. So we have got the number 1, and then it has these list of flowers at the bottom. And what I can do is I can tap them and drag them, and I can drop them on the number. So if the number 1 is here, I can drop one flower.
1.
Oh, and look at that. I get cool little sparklies to say 1, 1. So now I'm going to go to the 2. I'm going to drop one flower on the 2, and I'm going to drop another one.
2. 1, 2.
And then you can keep doing that. And the idea behind it is it allows you to work with these numbers in a representative. So this is your visually based kiddos. So you get the auditory part of it. So kids can actually hear the words 1 and they can match those up. But then also you can see it too. So for some kids, the number 1 is an arbitrary thing to them. They haven't associated that 1 is a singular thing. That 2 is two singular things put together. And so this can really help them identify on their own.
1.
Especially if they like flowers.
2. 3.
You stack. When I put 3 of those things together, it makes the number 3. So now we're going to back up and we're going to hit the numerals one. It's like difficulty 1 to 9 here.
Can you find 6?
So what it wants me to do is it's got a list of numbers here and you basically just pull the 6 out.
6.
And you drop it up there. And again, it gives you a whole list of flowers there that you can actually count out. So it's a really great app. It's pretty simple, but it's Montessori numbers. And it's a great one because it just allows kids to not only connect with what a number is, but it allows them to visually see what that number represents, which I love. My daughter Cora right now loves that particular one because she likes flowers just in general. The next one we're going to pull up here is the Montessori Matching Board. This is another favorite one. This is one of my son's favorite. He loves matching. So I'm going to hit play here.
Connect the related items.
So what they do is they've got on one side of the screen they have an N and an 11, and then the other side they have an N and 11. So what you have to do is you have to match the N and you drag it into the box, and you drag the
11
into
You're
the box.
You're great.
And you match. So now they've got the same
diamond,
thing here. So
diamond.
Can,
diamond.
Sorry.
F.
There
F,
we go.
Great job.
Hey, I did a great job. Thanks, lady. So anyway, but the idea behind it is that it's matching. And not only is it helping you match colors, but it's also helping you match shapes, sizes, etc. This particular one is a lot better for your littler kids. Like my daughter Cora loves this one the most at this point because you really don't have to memorize where stuff is at. Like traditional matching games, you have to memorize where stuff is. And that one, you really don't have to memorize where it's at. You just have to be able to match color to color and shape to shape. And that's what's really good about that. And then also, as they click on it, it also reads it out to them. So if they have the number 11 and they're matching it, when they click on it, it'll say 11, which can be nice. Another one that we have is just a traditional matching. So now the tiles are hidden, but you click on each tile and it'll read them out to you. So it's great because you get to tap on the screen and get your little reaction.
One.
And then you actually get the number, and then you can tack on any other box.
Two.
And another one.
Three. Four.
Five.
Six.
You did it.
Hey, I did it. But that's
one,
the idea
three,
behind it is
five,
it gives them something
six,
interactive.
Seven. Good work.
They can tap on it, and they can begin counting up the numbers. And each time that they go, it gets a little bit bigger.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
Eight. You did it.
So you can see in each one, they're building one more number on. And it allows them to count, and it's interactive. They can tap on any tile in any order that they want. So they don't have to have orders down perfectly. And it's just it's a great little app for basically teaching how to count without really having to teach how to count. Okay, so the next one isn't actually necessarily a Montessori app. At least not, it's not endorsed by them. But this one is called Math Puppies. And my daughter loves this one because my daughter Anna, my 7-year-old, because she loves animals. And so this is one of her favorite ones. And so you pull it up and you get the option of Math Bingo, Math Challenge, or Math Calculator. So we're going to do let's do a Math Challenge. This one's fun because this one forces you to do your mathematics, but you have to do it in a certain time period, which is kind of fun. So you pick your little avatar. You can pick whatever puppy dog you want, you know, and there's three to choose from. So we're going to pick him. I'm going to put it on easy difficulty because the last time I played this, it blew me away. It was harder than I thought. So it'll give you basically three lives that you can do, like three times that you can get it wrong. And it says calculate and tap on the result. So what it does is it's going to throw up a math problem. 6 minus 5 is 1.
Astonishing.
And notice how it does it in a different language. See, I love that. So it gives me another math problem. 3 minus 0.
Nice
500.
Going.
Just kidding. And they progressively get harder and harder as you go. 1 minus 0.
Excellent.
And you do 5 of them total, I believe. This one is 2 minus 2.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. She's British, too. That's great. And 7 minus 5.
Well done.
Dos. And so that's level 1. And so then as you go to the next level, of course, it gets a little harder and the time gets a little bit faster. And so it blows through your calculations a lot quicker. And it gets to where at the end there, I mean, you're doing some pretty big numbers and you're doing them as fast as you can in your head. And it'll pop up and it'll give you 2 seconds before you have to select your calculations before it goes on to your next one. And it beeps at you because you got it, you didn't get it fast enough. So Math Puppy has got some great math stuff on it and kids love it. Now, here is my daughter Anna's absolute favorite one, and it's called Life Cycles. She loves this one. So it brings up a screen, and you can go through different phases here. So, they have the life cycle of the frog. We're going to choose that. And then what it's got is it has a little diagram here that talks about what does a frog go through. So it talks about an adult frog lays eggs. The eggs become a tadpole. Tadpole gets lungs. Tadpole gets legs, then it becomes a froglet, and then a young frog. So it's a great little description.
The tadpole stage.
There it goes.
After hatching from the egg, a tadpole will emerge. This baby tadpole only has gills for breathing, a mouth, and a tail.
My daughter loves this.
For about 7 days, the baby tadpole will eat the leftover yolk from inside its own egg to survive.
But you didn't know that.
They are very fragile and very small. So that makes them easy to be eaten by other water animals. This is why they are not very social animals at this time. Baby tadpoles usually stick themselves to floating.
Now that also has
stage.
Okay.
After about 4 weeks, the gills of the baby tadpole.
So that actually. That actually has the ability for you to read it while it goes, so you can actually follow through on all those. And it's got wonderful stuff. It's not just. Your traditional life cycles of animals. It has all sorts of different types of life cycles on there. Let's see if we can go back and find the moon one. Here you go. Here's phases of the moon.
The new moon phase. The sun always shines on half of the moon, but we cannot always see the entire half that is lit up. The many phases are the parts of the lit half that we can see. The wax.
So you can also kill the the audio if you want, and you can move it into just text and read it yourself. But it just has tons of stuff in here, and it'll go through each one, gives you lots of cool information about what's here. Just some quick, they've got life cycle of the frog, cycles of the moon, butterfly, plant life cycle, pollination and fertilization, rock cycle, if you can believe that. It sounds really boring, but my daughter took me through it the other day. It's actually very enjoyable. They go into the nitrogen cycle, the oxygen cycle. It goes to the cycle of the ladybug. Just a bunch of wonderful stuff. And then they'll actually ask you kind of questions. So it gives them a little quiz at the end. When the tail disappears, a froglet becomes a frog. We got it. Let's see if I got that right. Yeah, we did get it right.
Where does an adult frog lay its eggs? On water? On water.
See, boom, look at that. I'm passing my test as we speak. Anyway, fun little one if you've got your little biologist in there that absolutely loves it. This was one that was, the next one is called Alpha Maze, and it is a Montessori app as well. It's really good if you're trying to get your kids to learn the different alphabets together or the numbers and et cetera. And so when you bring it up, it gives you basically 20 different levels that you can do. So we'll start with level one. And it pulls up a little a grid here of the alphabet. And what you have to do is you have to basically touch your finger to it and then drag your finger along in order of the alphabet. And it's not in perfect order. So I start here at A.
A, B,
and I drag
C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
So now, mind you, at this point, I've basically made a trapezoid here. This is not in a straight line.
L, M. N O P Q R S T U X U V W X Y Z.
And then you get done, and then you go to the next level, and it gets more complicated. That had a lot of them that were just perfectly side by side and big clusters of them that was real easy to see, but it starts to get more and more complicated as you go. So the idea behind it is it teaches them how to look for the alphabet in a more creative, strategic way instead of just the traditional way that you get shown horizontally. It's really good about engaging that creative part of the mind, very good about looking for patterns, and then also what my thing about it is it teaches them to look outside the box a little bit as well. And we kind of have a tendency to think linearly from left to right like we read. But, you know, sometimes the things that we're looking for in life don't happen in a straight line. And so being able to look outside that, I think, is very valuable. I told you guys that my daughter is an art nut. And she loves to do art, and she loves to draw, and she loves to make pictures and stuff like that. So this next one is actually done by Kids Games Club. And it's called, which one is this one called? Hang on, I don't want to get the name wrong on it. It's called Paint Sparkle. That's right. And my daughter loves to draw. So you basically just get a white canvas, and you can select at the bottom. You can
aquamarine.
Pick
aquamarine.
You can pick your crayon, and it's aquamarine. And then you can draw. And the sounds, and as I'm doing this, as I'm making these little these circles, there's like little sparkles blasting everywhere. And you get this cool little sound at the end, and then you can select colors, and it tells you what it is.
Gold.
Gold, by God, it is. Making an aquamarine phrase with gold.
Magic.
Okay, so I selected the magic wand, and when I touch it with the magic wand, now I'm drawing, but the colors are changing. It's actually kind of pretty, I'm going to be honest with you. But as I'm drawing, it's moving from light blue, dark blue, red, aquamarine, gold. I mean, it's just changing colors as I'm moving. So a lot of fun. And my daughter loves it. And so you can come down and you can actually pick different kinds of, if you want to do
a... Dolls and teddy bears.
There you go. And so I can select a teddy bear as kind of like a coloring book. And then I
beige.
Can...
Beige.
You know, I like my bears beige, so... Then you can color in the teddy bear however you want. Anyway, neat little app. Kids love it. Very tactile, especially if you have those kids that like to do something. That's the best thing to me about the iPad apps in general, is that they're so interactive and that kids can do things and sit down and enjoy something instead of just looking at a piece of paper. Another one of my favorites by my oldest daughter, this one's called Animal Facts. And so like right here it says, a hummingbird wings beat about 60 times per second. An adult giraffe's tongue measures 30 inches in length. My daughter Anna didn't start enjoying this one until about 2 or 3 weeks ago because she just stumbled across it looking for something else. And she wasn't able to enjoy it the first time we had put it on the iPad because she couldn't read at that point. And it was one of the frustrations that actually led to her learning and teaching herself how to read is that she couldn't read this stuff and we wouldn't read it for her anymore. Let's see. Montessori words. This is actually one of my favorite ones. And this one is done by La Escapado. But La Escapado, sorry, I think they're French. They do some of the best apps in my personal opinion. And there's several of them on here. But we can do, these are like Montessori crosswords. So I'll pick just the simple crosswords with three sounds.
Hut.
So it gives you a little picture of a hut. And you've got the alphabet at the bottom, the entire alphabet. And what you have to do is drag all the letters up there that you need to make the word.
Hut.
And then it gives you the time to play. See, the thing I love about it is it gives you plenty of time to play. So now the word is over, but I can tap the screen and, like, stars are exploding all over the place. And it just, you know, it's very pretty. It's got the cool little sounds. And then you can hit and go and move on. So I love my jets.
Jet.
So you can see now. I'm going to move over here. Let's see words of any complexity. So let's do words of any complexity, and we'll do a crossword here.
Clown, leak, well.
So now it's giving me those three pictures just like it did before. So we have to spell it out. So do. And you can hear how it's sounding out each one of them for us. As we go, I'm having a hard time finding the O. Here it is.
Ow. Ow.
And I'm just filling in C-L-O-W-N.
Clown.
But now it's crossworded, so now we can do L.
E.
Whoops, my E didn't land in there.
K. Leak. Well.
So there it is. It filled them out kind of acrostic-like. And now I get to play and do all the little sparkly stars. So it's a great one. It can get more and more complex as you go, but it just allows kids to get a little picture and then fill it in. We do like that. That's one of all of the French ones are my favorite. So I have to introduce you to this because my son told me that I absolutely had to introduce you guys to this one. The next one is called Halo Waypoint, and it's one of my son's favorites. And though you might be like, how is this educational in the wide world? Trey, the reality is that we love it because it forces my son to want to read, and because there's so much good stuff on it, and it's not actually going to load. We're still operating sans internet out here at the Casa de Gibson, unfortunately, and so it's not going to. It looks like it's not going to load for us, and but it has tons of good videos on there. My son loves to read the facts about Halo, and it really stretches him out. Another one of my favorite guys, and we're going to start wrapping this up here pretty quick, is one called Baby Touch. This is particularly good for little babies. And so what it does is it's just a screen that's very interactive. And so you can set this in front of a baby, and they touch it. And anywhere they touch it, you'll see all of these different I did a five-finger touch, and that was the setting to shut it off. But you could touch it anywhere, and anywhere that they touch or anywhere they drag their hands across, it reacts to their touch. And so it may do little sparkling triangles that rotate that are very colorful and whatnot. And little babies just love this. We've used this with Cora and with Anna both. Cora and Charlotte. And especially when everybody else has one and they know everybody else has an iPad but them, we would let them play around with this. So again, it's just visually stimulating. It's pretty, and it's got some very pretty music. We sometimes would have kids fall asleep using it. The problem with that is make sure that you have a military specification case for it, because we have almost lost a phone to drool after they fell asleep on it. No joke, by the way. The next one that I actually kind of like is one called Jurassic Park. It's called Jurassic Park Builder. And you say, well, Trey, what does that have to do with education? This one's been good because to build your Jurassic Park, you have to build economy. So you have to, like, mine things. You have to mine stone and gold and all the other different kinds of stuff. But when you do, it allows you to basically build your park any way that you want to with the different dinosaurs. And so my kids love Jurassic Park. And so you build this park up. You can do aquatic ones. You can do velociraptors. You know, of course, as you do it, you know, your velociraptors can get out. And but again, it's very economy-based. And I like that because we're really teaching our kids right now the mentality of if you want to work hard, I mean, if you want to play hard, you got to work hard. And so this one's real good about reinforcing. Okay, you want that new T-Rex, huh? Well, if you want the new T-Rex, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to save up money. And so this is a great one because my kids think Jurassic Park is great, but it also kind of forces them to think about industry. And if they want to expand, what do they have to get rid of? And if they want to expand, what more, you know, extra money do they have to save up and those kinds of things? So great little app. Unfortunately, this one requires a Wi-Fi connection, so it's not going to let me load up our map. I'll let you hear some of the fun sounds on it. But and then last, but most certainly not least, is probably one of my absolute most favorite apps. My son and I like to play this one. And what you can actually do is sync two other devices together. So two Bluetooth that have, or two iPads that have Bluetooth, you can sync them together and you can actually have duals, and they sound like this here. Yeah, that's right. You heard that. Get the volume cranked up a little bit on this. You hear that? That's my blade. So every time I'm moving the iPad, it gives you a lightsaber sound. And then, of course, if you're connected with each other, then as you strike at each other, you can actually make striking shots at each other, and then it sounds like this. Yeah, I'm really doing that with the iPad. So then, as if that's not enough, then you can run down here and hit the play button and add the most awesome Jedi Knight background music like this. Oh, what? And then you and your children can have some of the absolute most epic lightsaber duels in your house that you've ever had. And then you can really get into it and be like, Grant, I am your father. No! Yeah, we are that nerdy in the homestead, Dick Gibson. So anyway, you got to hear some of the most popular apps that we use at the house here. We've found them to be incredibly effective, but I want to boil all this down. I can give you guys every single app we've ever found, and here's what I can promise you. If your apps are not tailored to your kids, they don't mean squat. What makes all of these apps effective for us here at the Homestead to Gibson is that they are unique to each one of our kids. They were things that they were interested in. We did not go and buy these apps. We put some of those Montessori apps on there for our kids at the start as kind of an experimental thing. But the reality is that as they grew, as they fell in love with different things, as we began to figure out their personalities and the things that they love and the things that motivate them, we modified our apps to fit those things that they love. And don't hear me wrong here. When we talk about educational apps, that doesn't mean that we went out and got some that were specifically, all of our apps were specifically designed by educators. Some of them are just things that they're passionate about or they love. You better believe that we've cashed in on Pretty Princess stuff with Cora. My little daughter Cora, my 4-year-old, loves princess stuff and pink stuff. So you better believe that we've gotten her Barbie apps because she's interested in those Barbie apps. And we use those as ways to teach her about different things that are going on in life, with mathematics, with numbers, etc., memorization. There's even some apps out there that are Barbie and princess-like, and we use those things to our advantage. My son with Halo, my daughter with biology and science, we've used that with every single one of them. So what I'm saying is, these are great apps. Go try them. Give them a whirl. See if your kids, connect with them and love them. And that's great. However, I want to make sure that you do not miss exactly what would work for your kid solely because you're out trying the apps that Trey has tried. Because what we're trying to push here is, the most important part of all of this is that you know your kids. You know what they love. You know what they're good at. You know what they appreciate. Because when you've got that figured out, when you have that masterful understanding of who your kid is and what they learn best with, you get to a point that you can be the most helpful. Let them play around. Let them experiment. Let them search out for things on the app stores. I mean, that doesn't mean you have to give them the password. What we do with our kids is we let them look around. If they find something they like, they come back, Dad, can we do this? Can we get this app? We take a look at it. Sure, son, we can do that. and then we'll maybe pick it up, or we may tell them no. But fundamentally, you definitely want to make sure that you know who they are, know what they love, and go look around, because that app store is filled with good stuff. Don't be afraid to read the reviews. We read the reviews on some and bought them instantly. We read the reviews and downloaded the free stuff, and we read the reviews and wouldn't download the free stuff even if they paid us for it. And so just know your kids, know what they love, and go do those things. And then there may come a day, one of these days, when you'll look your son in the eye and have your very first lightsaber duel with him right on your very own iPad. So I'm thinking that maybe we're going to take us out with a little bit different music today, that it's only appropriate for this. Guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. I sure do appreciate you guys for joining us today. Don't forget, we should be back for another episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast this Friday with our good man, Jeff Emery. We'll be sitting down for another topic for you guys you're going to love. Let me tell you, Jeff has been mining out all the good shows and the awesome articles just for you guys, and he has pulled together some awesome, awesome stuff. Make sure you come join us this weekend. All right, if nothing else, guys, we sure do appreciate you. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you guys on Friday.